You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. We've already gotten a number of updates on all the action down on Capitol Hill as the lame duck session comes and is convened both on the House side and the Senate side. We've talked earlier this morning about orientation for the 94 freshman House of Representatives members. Todd Zwillick, though, alerted us to this battle, which we're seeing the opening scene of well before the election. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, John.
You described for us right before the election that what we were going to see in the Senate and in the House were signs of the Tea Party and whatever sort of constituency made it to Washington sort of pushing its agenda and battling for power with the leadership, both on the GOP and the Democratic side. We are already seeing a pretty big battle, and it looks like the Tea Party has won one for the first time. Explain what Mitch McConnell did in his switch on so-called earmarks and why that's significant.
An opening round win, John, you're right, for the Tea Party on day one of the lame duck Senate. And the other theme, you know, going into this election, we said, would be about spending, debt, and deficits over the next 2 years. Again, round one. Mitch McConnell surprised everyone. There aren't usually a lot of surprises in the Senate. You know, the Senate moves at its own pace. There's news, but not really a gee whiz surprise. Well, yesterday, Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican leader, walked down to his place on the Senate floor at 2 p.m. to give his opening speech of the lame duck session, and he surprised everyone by saying this. Listen.
Today I'm announcing that I will join the Republican leadership in the House in support of a moratorium on earmarks in the 112th Congress.
Now, this is a surprise, Todd, because the leadership in the Senate flows from the leadership allowing certain lawmakers to maintain their earmarks in big appropriations bills. They sort of sort them out. They hand them out like little favors. He's basically ditching his major instrument of power here.
He's ditching one of his major instruments of power, and also a long tradition for Mitch McConnell and a lot of senators on both sides of the aisle. Mitch McConnell isn't only Republican leader. He's a longtime member of the Appropriations Committee. He's a conservative, but a champion of earmarks, has never apologized for steering nearly over what's estimated to be over $1 billion in federal earmarks to his home state of Kentucky. His reversal really is a big victory for Tea Party senators, nine of them coming into the Senate. Well, I shouldn't say there's nine of them. There's nine new freshmen.
Right.
Of them Tea Party members, led by conservative Jim DeMint. McConnell says he's heard the hue and cry from the conservative right from this election, and he's going to back down.
Go ahead. Let's take a step back. John McCain has been railing against earmarks for years and years and years. President Obama is reportedly against earmarks.
Yes.
You say Jim DeMint is driving this. How does Jim DeMint have an argument that's more persuasive than big old John McCain, Republican leader, or President Obama?
It's not Jim DeMint personally who has a bigger argument. It's the wave of this election and the Republicans' desire to ride that wave. Republicans are saying repeatedly, Mitch McConnell is saying repeatedly, that voters are saying Washington is ignoring them. He said yesterday, I'm not going to ignore the voters. And if the voters are giving... Mitch McConnell wants to claim a mandate, John. I think that's the bottom line. It's hard to do when voters say they don't like Democrats, but they don't really like Republicans either. By doing this, he can get a little bit of shine off that voter anger, especially over debt and spending, and be on the side of right on this one.
And, you know, he's not exactly apologizing for all of his sort of pro-earmarks votes in the past. Listen to this.
Make no mistake, I know the good that has come from the projects that I've helped support throughout my state. I don't apologize for them, but there is simply no doubt that the abuse of this practice has caused Americans to view it as a symbol of the waste and out-of-control spending that every Republican in Washington is determined to fight.
Well, not only every Republican. We mentioned Barack Obama is against earmarks. Is this a sign? I mean, would the takeaway here be, and I'm hoping you say yes, but I suspect maybe not, is the takeaway here that we're seeing bipartisanship on the removal of earmarks, a more streamlined budget process, and possibly some big numbers are going to come out of that federal budget?
Not bipartisanship, John. Barack Obama is against earmarks, issued a statement yesterday basically saying, I'm glad Mitch McConnell's finally coming along with me on this, kind of tried to outflank Mitch McConnell on this. But Democrats are making no apologies for their earmarks. Harry Reid released a statement through a spokesman yesterday saying, we've done a lot of good in Nevada with earmarking. It makes a lot of sense for us. We're not going to rely on federal bureaucracies to decide how the money's spent. So thanks, Mitch McConnell, but we're not going along necessarily. But what it does do is set up a standoff. Democrats, don't forget, still have the majority in the Senate, not in the House, but in the Senate. And if there are earmarks in these bills and in spending bills, how are they going to get passed? How can any Republican now vote for an appropriations bill that has earmarks?
So it becomes a kind of a stalemate, kind of the way in the House you have to come up with a way of paying for a new program. If you can't demonstrate that in the bill, it doesn't go anywhere out of committee or otherwise. This is sort of an additional impediment to increase spending, a kind of de facto moratorium on earmarks. Is that a good way of analyzing it?
Well, it can be, but here's the other problem with it that a lot of earmark proponents talk about, and Mitch McConnell talked about before yesterday. Sure, we can ban earmarks, but unless we drastically cut the spending number, you know, if a bill is $20 billion and $1 billion of it is earmarks, if the next bill is $20 billion with no earmarks, you're still spending the same amount of money,
right,
and some people Defense Department get to decide how it's spent. So we still don't know how much they're going to cut, and that's the key question. The money could still be the same.
Finally, what's the next round for the Tea Party? I mean, are we going to see Jim DeMint challenge the leadership on the Republican side? Are we going to see an actual Tea Party bloc emerge and sort of portray itself as the watchdogs of the 112th Congress?
Jim DeMint says he wants a showdown with the White House on spending, and if need be, he wants a showdown with Republicans on spending. He has said after this election, he alluded to it yesterday, that his mission is to hold everyone's feet to the fire, including the Republican leadership. Now, it's not just DeMint again. It's a lot of Tea Partiers and their backers in the grassroots. But there's a big fight coming up, John, on spending. The Congress has to pass a gigantic omnibus spending bill because they haven't gotten any of their spending work done this year. And if there's a standoff on that, I've said it before, we don't know what's going to happen. We could be headed for a government shutdown, and DeMint is boiling for a fight here.
All right, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, on a turnaround by Mitch McConnell on the question of earmarks and what that means in the tactics and strategy on the big budget fights yet to come in the U.S. Congress. Thank you, Todd.
Sure thing.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.